You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
There has to be a morning after.
Good morning, Matt Neely. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm good.
I'm doing good.
Good.
Doing good. I was flipping through the Netflix this morning, and and I saw the Arnold autobiography that's on there, like the little the documentary. And I was talking like Arnold like the entire morning.
Okay.
Ja, I got to get down La Cañada.
So
now it is time for you to go outside. I'm sorry, your lovely pooch.
The Luna.
Luna, it's time to go outside for your morning constitutional.
Absolutely. You going to poop or not poop? Speaking of poop, we had an election, primary election yesterday. Mixed bag of stuff. It would be my take so far.
Yeah.
Mixed bag would be the phraseology.
Phraseology.
I'll call it Beyond Searcy if that's right. So what did we learn? Give us a call, 790-2040. We have the vice president of the Heritage Foundation calling in at 7.
All right.
To talk about the vaunted Project 2024 you've heard so much about.
Certainly.
We also found out the president of Heritage Foundation quit yesterday, most likely after finding out his VP is booked on a crappy-ass show called Wake Up Tucson.
You what?
We got, yeah.
He's booked where?
Yep.
I need to resign.
My girl Kristen over there is in trouble. So, but anyway, we got that going for us. And of course, this hour of Wake Up brought to you by our friends at Blueprint Home Services. If you're dealing with roofing problems with all these storms and stuff, call Daniel and the crew, 525-2555. 525-2555. They just did my tile roof, and not only did they redo it, but made it better, re-engineered it. So 525-2555, blueprinthomeservice.com. So what did we learn? We learned that the Dem ground game on the hard left is strong.
Dang.
Right?
And sure did.
And so we saw that in Conover, Whip, and Jetty. And
did not see that one coming.
Jen Allen winning a four-way race in District 3 at 54%.
Yep.
And it was the same ground game working each one.
Yep.
So hard ground game, chasing ballots.
Chasing ballots. That's got to be it, Chris.
You know. And, you know, I was talking with a certain chicken purveyor earlier. And, you know, talking about, well, you got 16,000 voters to go after, which is not a large group of people when you're chasing ballots. But what we're learning is the Pima County Democrat, we're not learning this, we're confirming this, is more hard left than ever. Right? You sell them, no matter what's going on with the fentanyl and the crime and your favorite restaurant keeps getting the windows broken, they don't care. It's abortion, they're telling me, you know, they want you to keep talking about voting rights, even though there's nothing wrong with voting rights. You know, they keep piling out the lefty tropes, and that's what they're going for. I mean,
that was definitely what I learned yesterday, was tough on crime. The local Dems just aren't into that.
Nope.
They're just not into...
They're cool with crime.
Yeah.
You know,
they're good with it.
They have done the Bill Clinton compartmentalization.
Boy, oh boy, have they.
Okay, of crime and homelessness. So they're concerned about homelessness, but they don't tie homelessness to the fentanyl and or crime problem. That's because if they do that, because remember, their team's in charge of that.
Yeah.
Right? Their team opened the border. Their team gutted the cops. Their team gutted the county attorney's office. You can't talk about that. But then there's homelessness, where they get to give themselves a spit medal because they have affordable housing.
Yep.
That's where we're learning more than ever. That, and I'm telling you something. So if Nanos comes back and gets reelected, if you're living in unincorporated county or the city of Tucson, you're done. If you're not living in an incorporated town like Sahuarita, Marana, Oral Valley, you're done. Okay? Oh, Vale, you are so stupid not to incorporate. Just want to let you know that. Let me, and all you MAGA pure jackasses out there that said, oh, I don't want a lower layer of government. You're going to find, enjoy it. Enjoy it. All right, let's get to some basics here. So let's get to some other, run down the news here. So we have Heather Lappin looks like she's leading and winning the Pima County Sheriff's primary in a three-way race against Phillips and Frederick. We have Juan Siskamani beaten, win by what, 20 points? That's what I saw lately.
60-40, I think, yeah.
60-40, right? So, and hopefully she'll go away after this, but she won't. And then we got, looks like in LD-17, looks like in the state representative race that McGar and Jones are going to make it in that race. And then it looks like Vince Leach has vanquished old Watsek.
It's a close one.
Yep. So we'll see how that plays out. I don't want to totally jinx it.
I don't know how many more votes they need to count. You need to call that one place with the empty box with 700 ballots.
Yeah, thank you.
Joanne's favorite vote center.
Let's see. What do we got here? We got... So he's beating her 51.5 to 48.5 right now.
That's about a 900 vote margin, I think. Yep. Last time I checked.
I think you are correct.
And that's pretty tight, but it's still nearly a grand. So
yep. So we'll see how that plays out. Hopefully,
I can't imagine. So this always comes back to if the ballots they have yet to count are early ballots. That might break one way, but if they're election day ballots, you'd think because the news hits so late in the election cycle about her speeding ticket and I'm being politically persecuted against and all this nonsense, hit very late in the cycle. So I can't imagine if they have election day votes to count, I can't imagine they're going to break in her favor.
You know what my favorite one was about? So it also hit that she finally got ticketed.
Sure did.
In the last 24 hours. Mm. Let's see. Was it the K-Gun story? There's one here. Oh, here it is. This is great. This is a total. This is classic jackass Wadsack. Let's see. Was it K-Gun? Oh, here we go. It's K-Gun. So this is so Wadsack. This is so good. They said they were reached out to her for like they texted her. I guess. And her response was, this will be part of my my legal file.
Oh,
this text
message. That was 13. They asked her for a statement. I don't even know what that meant.
Let's see. I got to find this. This is just so good. Oh, here we go. 13 News made several attempts to contact Wadsack last week. On July 25th, after asking for a statement via text, she responded, quote, I'm sure you are. I'll add it to my legal file, unquote.
What does that even mean?
Let's go to break. We'll talk about some more election results. We got to get to U.S. Senate. I got to get to Marana, Oral Valley, and other things before this is all over. You're on Wake Up Tucson. It's give us a call. I got some nice emails from a couple of you with we have two reviews of some. Kurt gave us a good primary aftermath of a couple of topics. We'll get to that too. So give us a call, 790-2040. This is called the Me Time for Me playlist. After all of your great playlists, I decided my picture has someone in front of the fireplace with their cup of coffee and their blanket with their book. It's called Me Time. So nothing better than to start with the Moody Blues. The day begins. Remember, third hour, Danny Zalisco, concert promoter extraordinaire, will be on with me and Dave Slavin. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Again, Moody Blues, the day begins. There we go. That's how you kick up your first hour of Wake Up Tucson.
Have some coffee with that.
filthy pirate in Asia time and again. I'm there. It's good living. I don't know what you did with your ratios today on the filthy pirate.
Yeah.
Bold and smooth as hell.
So this is a Brazilian roast.
Woo!
Yeah, mutiny.
I love that. Mutiny.
Yeah.
Perfect. Usually we do Brazilian wax on this show, so it's good to see us doing a Brazilian blend.
Is that like the car?
Exactly like the car.
Okay.
I love the reaction is, of course, from a few of the Wakeys is, I'm sick of Carrie Lake. We'll get to Carrie Lake in a second. We'll get there. Carrie did beat Mark Lamb yesterday. Let's see. Sarah was saying all 23,000 day of ballots are counted. I assume this is in the LD-17.
Okay.
What's left is early ballots and provisionals. She says, I will know how many early ballots this morning going into process early ballots at 8 a.m. She's one of those good poll working masochists. So God bless you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
They
got a good one in her.
Absolutely. Margot and Carrie Lake. Jeez. Betsy, I wish Carrie Lake would go away. let's see. Billy B. Early ballots dropped off on election day is approximately 15,000. Not seeing any races where that will significantly change results. May some margins may narrow. I was fascinated to see Vince over Justine in both Pinal and Pima County.
Yeah.
So,
I did see one thing though. It said reporting in Pinal was 40%. I don't know if I misread something earlier this morning. I hadn't had coffee yet, but
if that's true, that plays in Vince's favor, being a Saddlebrook guy, right?
Yeah. So what's holding them up, I guess, would be my...
Oh, you know, donkeys, hamsters, and such.
Hamsters.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
I said Pinal, not Pima.
A couple of... I want to get to... Kurt had some good... Debbie, yes. Siskamani beating you-know-who, yes, yes, yes. Actually, the last number I saw on Siskamani beating... The spender of her grandchild's inheritance on Wake Up Tucson advertising is 62-38 is what we're seeing on Siskamani win. So that's
okay.
Good. Even though Donald Trump didn't endorse her, even though he's, you know, I was waiting for her to come out after she said that Trump didn't know what he was doing, even though she supports him. He's such an old man that he didn't know what he was endorsing, but I love him. And I thought she was going to say the same thing about the Arc del Cueto and the Border Patrol Council.
Right.
Oh, I can't believe they endorse Juan. Are they senile too? But I endorse them. Love it. Kurt. A couple of thoughts. So yeah, the pro-abortion 12-year-old that ran against Rex Scott and the District 1 supervisor actually got one out of every three votes did not go to Rex Scott. For a kid who had no side, he had like one, I saw one side on La Cañada that said, I'm 12 and I love abortion, whatever his thing is. He's like just loves abortion, okay? All right. He got one-third of the votes from Rex Scott. Steve Spain and Republicans, that District 1's takeable, but you can't shoot yourself in the foot, which you might. So that was interesting. You want to know why couldn't the Pima GOP come up with someone better than Steve to take on Rex? Because of that MAGA purity and Garrett Lewis hate machine, right? Because they would just say the most hateful things about someone running against one of their crew, and Steve Spain ran into that real fast. He came out quick, I'm the guy, and people who were thinking about it were like, who wants to put up with that crap? I'm gonna go make money and take care of my family. Number two, the Democrat political machine in Pima County is a force of nature when cornered. How else would anyone explain the survival of Nanos and Conover? Nanos, I don't think the machine... worked anything for Nanos. I think that was just name ID.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Rosenthal, you know, had four signs out there, right? So they didn't know any better.
But
Conover,
30,000 votes. think. So, I mean, Rosenthal, that ought to be concerning to Nanos.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
But that's why he survived is just name. The only reason he survived was name ID.
Yeah, sure.
Right? But you're right. What Sandy pulled for him is also would be concerning. Let's see. And then, of course, this is always the eternal question. Speaking of crime lover and the machine, in hindsight, Jetty should have ran as an independent. It was a fool's errand to take on a Democrat incumbent and Democrat machine in a Democrat primary. Again, I've had these conversations over the years with many candidates on whether they should run as an independent or a Democrat or a Republican, and all of these different races. I can see the benefits and shortfalls of both arguments here. I've talked it over beer and coffee over and over and over and over again. Sergio, CD6 aren't idiots, thank God. CD6 Republicans aren't idiots, thank God. What are you going to say, sir?
I don't know. I lost my train.
That's okay. Sergio's idiots line got you Sergio. Distracted. Let's get bill number two on real quick before we hit bottom of the hour. Seven.
That was my typo. It was bill number one.
Oh, bill X to the X or something like that. It's like a variable now. Bill number one. Good morning, sir.
yeah. So those roots and whatnot, we'll get to you. Anyway, just a reminder for all the folks that are out there. One of the few things election integrity wise that was a good thing that passed in the last couple of years is, every vote center, every polling location now must have a count of how many early ballots are dropped off at the polling locations, and that report is sent to each of the 15 counties. It is a separate report, but when you are looking at those results on election night, and this will especially apply come the fall, you'll need to, in the past, it was always a question mark about, well, how many ballots were dropped off on election day? And it was kind of a question mark thing that people would go, oh, well, is it 10,000? Is it 50,000? Is it 100,000 kind of thing? And it was kind of an unknown. That number now is known. It is posted later in the night when each county gets the final count from all of its vote centers polling location. But that number will be known moving into the November election. So if you've got a close race, go look at that separate report that indicates how many early ballots were dropped off on election day. The provisional and special and the conditional ballots, that is a separate report. Those are usually not as significant as those early ballots dropped off on election day. So based on that, in Pima County, there's a little over 15,000 of those early ballots that were dropped off at the vote centers yesterday. Unless something is really strange in some of those early ballots dropped off on election day, it doesn't look like any of those races that are kind of 1,000 votes or less will change significantly. I'm not saying it can't happen, but it would take something dramatic in terms of those early ballots that are dropped off. But folks need to remember, come November, find out what those early ballot dropped off reports are from the 15 counties if you've got a close race.
Thanks, Bill. We got to go.
All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Kathleen up in Saddlebrook. Correct. Early ballots, Pinal. Not sure why. Vince won in Pima. He's in good shape. I pray that is correct. For all of you who want to save the state of Arizona from Democrat majority, Vince has got to win that race. 6:33 in the morning. We got to go right down to the Little Green Valley. Our good friend Dan Shearer is there. Pickleball, swimming pools. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Let's go right to our good friend Dan Shearer, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, editorial director for 14,000 papers for WIC Communications.
You finally get it right.
Thank you.
There we go.
I was going to do my ode to John C. Scott. I'm the best editorial director in newspapers. Dan Shearer.
God bless you. Might be the only one.
God bless you, John, wherever you're at. So what did you learn from the elections last night, my friend?
I think, I think I'm really surprised at just how badly Mike Jetty got beat there in the county attorney's race. And I think we have to remember, we don't like hearing this, but county attorney is really kind of a down ballot race for a lot of people. And even though to me it was the marquee race this time around, not only because we had these, a lot of duking it out, but also because it's settled in the primary. It's a very important job, and it was settled in the primary because there's no GOP candidate out there. So I was surprised, basically a 2-1 margin, that he went down on this one. I'm really surprised. So I'm not surprised about Nanos, and I will tell you one reason why. I was at the debate down here in Green Valley, him against Sandy Rosenthal, and the very, very last question was, if you lose, will you support the Democratic candidate? And Rosenthal said no. Yep. And there were audible gasps in the room. And I thought, oh, well, you just sealed your fate right there. So because another thing about Green Valley, we not only like Dairy Queen and pickleball, but we also vote in extraordinarily high numbers. And I think that that just did not sit well with people. So, which takes us back to Jetty and your suggestion about, not your suggestion, but one person's suggestion, you should have run as an independent. I think one of the things that people were unsure about, unsteady with him, was the fact that he had kind of toyed with the GOP in the past and had some connections, and which is really unfortunate because he's a very good attorney, and the county attorney really isn't supposed to get involved in politics, even though, yes, I get it, it's a political race, but I don't think that would have helped him any.
So a couple of things here, right, is that that's all she had is hit her, the only hit back. He was definitely the superior county attorney person for this job than her. She's in over her head, right? But that was her number one thing, was he was a Republican for 3 or 4 months figuring out to run against LaWall, right? Because he had this, he wanted to run before. And the other thing is, she demonized him taking any money from a Republican. Any of the businesses. So this is the thing, what we've learned is that Laura Conover and the Democrat Party in Pima, if you take any money from a business owner who's suffering with crime and all this stuff, who happens to be a registered R, that means that Democrat candidate who takes that money is some sort of Donald Trump cultist.
Well, if you're going to beat up on the Democrats, let me mention this to you too, and it'll be very unpopular, but I don't care. Is that the Democrats typically in a situation like that will allow the sex to be part of their decision on who to vote for. So they will go for the woman in a case like that. I think that's a little bit of virtue signaling going on. But to them, it's like, well, we want a strong woman in this position. Well, I don't think Laura Conover would ever want someone to vote for her for that reason. But I think Democrats a lot of times do vote for that, and I think that played against him also, quite honestly.
I think I'm not disagreeing with you. I think that's, if I wanted to do the Occam's razor, right, simplest explanation, like where I was just having this discussion about the Oral Valley election, I didn't get to that but so Elizabeth Robb and my girl Mary Murphy were the top two vote getters, right? And then Mo Green, who was the incumbent, came in third, so it looks like Mo's in, and then Tim Bowen, who has some serious issues to deal with, came in last, right? And I'm sitting there going, was it the Occam's razor that the two women, female voters, candidates were voted in, right? And then the incumbent, right? And then we had this discussion also with the year before, Melanie Barrett as the vice mayor, right? She got the most votes out of anybody, right? So I don't know. That could be part of it.
I think it's a Democratic thing more than anything, and I certainly don't think that it plays out in every race, but it is something to look for and something that's very unpopular to point out, having been confronted about that comment in the past.
So here, you set yourself up for this great question. So what's Carrie Lake's problem? Oh, sorry, I didn't say that.
Nobody likes her.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, you know. No one likes her, and I don't know if you've discussed it on the air, but those polls show that she was going to beat Mark Lamb, but she's going to have a tough time against Gallego, and so we'll see that he actually might have been the better candidate up against Gallego. So
that's true.
I'm not surprised at how that race played out, and the percentages were pretty much what I thought they might be. So that's that's where we are with that, but we'll see what happens. So I'll be honest, I'd sure hate to see her in the U.S. Senate, only because I don't. She is not a unifying force. She's very divisive, and I think we wouldn't get anything done. It has nothing to do with her policies. It has everything to do with her approach to the job. Would not be excited about that.
And Gallego's just a weak. He's so weak.
Trust me, there's zero enthusiasm there too, you know. So, but again, it's how you approach the job, and hey, I don't know that the country can take any more of that divisiveness.
Look, we a stiff piece of cardboard named Mark Kelly won a U.S. Senate as a D. Why can't Ruben Gallego if we keep putting up bad candidates?
Because Mark Kelly has a wounded wife, and he's an astronaut. And again, that's people vote on those things. So that's, you know, I think Mark Kelly can probably do whatever he wants to do in the future.
I hope he's the VP candidate. That would be a great crash and burn with him and Kamala, using an astronaut term. Yeah. Let's go to Rick's on the line. He wants to talk about Mike Jetty. He's not there anymore. All right, we'll talk about Rick later. All right, he'll call back later. Okay. So let's get to some Green Valley news stuff. But I do want to cover real quick Kim Smith. We love the work she does for you guys down there. Matt, get your Thank God the Police soundbite ready to go. Here we go. The case of Pima County Corrections Officer who was a serial shoplifter being accused of 18 misdemeanor accounts in the Sahuarita court. Thank God it's been referred to Justice of the Peace Ray Carroll.
Thank God the police.
So that case, which Laura Conover declined to prosecute, and that Nanos declined until he was under pressure to do anything about, you know, the fact that this guy's a corrections officer for him. He ended up suspending the guy, I think, for a short time. But this then was referred to our municipal court, and the guy was charged, and then it was thrown over to Ray's court, Justice Court, because there was a conflict of interest locally. And there has been a plea deal struck, but they won't tell us what it is. So we learn about that, I think next in September. But something will happen to him.
What was the conflict of interest in the?
Well, this is a very good question. The conflict of interest should come with the judge, and that wasn't the case. It was staff, and someone may have known him or crossed paths with him or something. We recently had a story in the paper about cases that are pushed over to Ray Carroll in the Justice Court because there's a conflict in the town of Sarita Court. And the fact that staff might know somebody, or your kid played Little League with the guy and he was a coach, or, you know, something like that, that should not have any bearing on it. And that's really what the story was about, is when can you, push a case to a different court because of a conflict of interest, and when shouldn't you? And so Ray feels like he's getting dumped on an awful lot. So the conflict had nothing to do with the attorney or with the judge. It was something else, so it was moved over.
Getting dumped on here a lot. I'm the suffering servants of the judicial system.
Well, remember though, this might be one case, but there are many, many charges, and so that's an awful lot to go through. So I think we actually wrote about that, and I just think that the municipal court is upset with Ray because the entire town of Sarita went to 4-day work weeks a year ago, and except the court, because Ray opposed it. He said, "Look, if they're closed on Fridays, I'm going to get dumped on even more." And I think the court's just our local court's not happy with Ray, so they are dumping on him. That's one man's opinion.
Well, me and my fellow Democrat, not fellow Democrat, Kristen Randall will take care of everything. Anyway, let's go.
She's a Republican now. Remember that.
Oh, that's right. If you remember, Ray was going to replace who again? He was
treasurer.
Oh, right, the treasurer job. Right, he wanted to apply for the treasurer to be appointed to that. So Kristen Randall, who is a staunch leftist, changed to be Republican so she could be appointed to the GOP spot.
Right, which he pointed out, and then it all ended up not happening, but then I kept checking, and it did go through. She hasn't re-registered yet that I know of, but I'll check again. So I like to keep tabs on those things.
I love it. When we come back, Dan and I are going to talk about a missing $39.4 million from the Santa Cruz County Bank treasurer.
Yep. Sad case.
It's the Me Time playlist. We went from Kashmir Live to Asia by Steely Dan. Wake up. All right, 6:49 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, hanging out with Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun. They still have not sent him the flagstaff to be in the mountains, to be with the paper up there for some god-awful reason. They just want him to roast in Green Valley. I was up there. I was up there talking to the reporters while you were sitting there roasting in Green Valley, you know, hanging out with sweaty Ray Carroll.
No. I got a call from the CEO the other day. I am heading up there here in the next few weeks. So, yeah, and I said, yeah.
You're being rude. You're fake news.
You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
$39.4 million. Matt, give him a Dr. Evil right now for how much money possibly is missing from the Santa Cruz treasury?
$100 billion.
Oh, my God.
This story out of Santa Cruz County, by the way, poorest county in Arizona.
Right.
So our folks had been on this story because we had been told that $4 million had been missing. And then we had earlier this week what I call a journalist's dream. Executive session, let me explain what executive session is. When a governing body goes into executive session, everything is done behind closed doors. If you are a member of that board and you disclose anything that happened, you will be thrown in jail. That's how serious it is. And usually they deal with personnel issues, or let's say a city is looking at buying a piece of land and they don't want the price to shoot up because everybody knows they're doing it, or if you just need to confer with your lawyer. So the county board of supervisors down there goes into executive session, and an IT guy who no doubt is looking for a job today apparently didn't hit the off switch, and the entire meeting was broadcast on YouTube. And this is pretty serious stuff. And so I get a call from someone down there in the newsroom saying, "What should we do?" And I said, "You should listen and you should write." And that's what they did. And so we find out it's not $4 million; it's just under $40 million that is missing. And So the county treasurer, Liz Gutfahr, has resigned. She has not been charged, let me be very clear, but they got a full accounting of how much is missing and where did it come from. The overwhelming bulk of it is from the schools, and then the county itself is missing a lot of money, We lay it out here in the story, but again, all of this should not have gone public, but it did because they accidentally broadcast the meeting on YouTube.
That's a question. Did she work in the finance department of the U of A previously before this? I just want to make sure.
I don't know. I think she's been with them quite a while. I know. I get it.
Thank you. I live to make you laugh, Dan Shearer. I just want you to know.
And it works. So you're usually not for the right. Usually I laugh at all the wrong time. Okay. So this is pretty serious for a county like this.
Oh, it's huge. And, any county.
Yeah, and then of course you know that they had our previous stories dug into a little bit of where might this money have gone, and you know suddenly Liz owns a couple of luxury homes and you know this and that, and I have to tell you you and I've been around the block enough on this type of stuff. It's you know we're going to dig up the luxury cars and the jewelry and sending kid to the private school and all this type of stuff that you know in the context of life is really just unimportant stuff. You know, it's stuff, and what price is integrity? And we will see if Ms. Gutfahr is actually charged in this case. Sure looks like we're heading that direction, but they want to get their ducks in a row here. But, you know, what price is integrity? And is stuff really worth it? You know, I always ask myself these private questions. So,
well, so, you know, think about this. So I'm going through the list of Kim's reporting. So Santa Cruz Valley School District out 14.5 mil. Nogales 11 mil, Santa Cruz County 9 mil, Patagonia Elementary School District is 528,000, and the Patagonia High School District is 815,000. Trust me, 1.3 million to Patagonia is massive. Massive.
Oh, absolutely. And I think we need to keep that in context. And let me back up, because the reporter on this was out of Nogales. Her name is Angela Gervasi. I want to give her full credit, because she really rocked this one. And she's just done terrific work down there ever since she's been with us. So, but yeah, these seem like little amounts. Okay, Santa Cruz County, seriously. Do you know, remember years ago, I think it was Randy Graff, when he was in the state legislature, was pushing the idea that Green Valley be annexed into Santa Cruz County because they're upset at Pima County over something. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you do not want to own the nicest home on the block, okay? And that's what Green Valley would have been to Santa Cruz County. There are a lot of great people down there and everything, but they're troubled. And this is not you do not want to get sucked into that county. But that is a ton of money for a small school district. So yeah. Where is it?
It says that in her first part of her Arizona Auditor General flagged operational issues in her first few years, but no deficiencies in her later years. So, interesting.
Right. But if you keep reading that story, they have problems with how the state might have operated its audit here. And in here, there's a brief mention that the state comes in and they audit 2 months out of the year, call it good. So I think the secondary story here, and actually it could become the primary at some point, is, well, if you're auditing us, just how did you do that? How thorough was it? And why didn't you catch $40 million missing? That's going to be a big question.
It goes back 10 years. I mean, it was 2013, yes. Right? Or something when it started?
Right, right. And there's a lot, to uncover here. And so, but I gather, unless they allow us into another executive session, we're not going to get all the details, at least not right away. So
so you guys covered it. We talked about the KOLD story on it originally. We're going to the DOORS system at the Sheriff's Department, or the Desk Officer Reporting System, which I find hilarious, because there is no desk officer at all. It's just a website to collate your orders, your complaints.
Right. And other agencies have gone to this, where these are really low level things. For instance, people will often call the police department just to get something on the record, or their insurance company says, yeah, you can't make a claim without a police report, or things like that. So we'll see if that ends up, working for them. It has in other jurisdictions. It allows police just to be, you know, called off for other more important things. So they're adopting that. Our concern, and we were talking with the sheriff yesterday about this, is that we right now get all the reports and stuff that are going through, or at least briefings of what is coming through the sheriff's department. You can pick up on trends, or there might be other stories in there. And we're not sure we're going to get the DOORS stuff. Now, that's real low-level stuff. Sometimes it doesn't matter, but I want everything. I want to know what's going on in that department, what's trending in our community. So we, and Nanos admitted, didn't think of that. So we'll have to see if we can actually get a hold of that information.
Well, the other thing is then so the big question is going to be, what's an emergency call, right? And what's not an emergency call? So the money, the money quote from the KOLD story is from Cecilia Ochoa, the county's 911 dispatch manager. This is the magic quote. We handle a lot of non-emergency types of calls. The larceny, the vandalisms, the identity theft kind of calls. So I already have the head of the dispatch saying that larcenies and vandalisms are now non-emergencies.
Yeah, that was, what do they say? I may have misspoke them, because Nanos had a different tune with us. He's like, when in doubt, call 911, we'll figure it out. I'm really, really surprised at those words, because those are not minor calls. Those are not something that should be handled by DOORS.
Yep. So
really, really surprising.
I can't believe there's confusion and disorder in Chris Nanos' sheriff's department. Wow.
I knew you were going to go there. So we'll see. So speaking of which, we'll see if Heather Lappin prevails in her GOP primary for sheriff, and what happens after that. Might be Bill Phillips still waiting, although actually she has a pretty good lead. So that should be a really good race because she's going up against her boss. She works for them right now.
Yeah, the reason I went with her as I like her better, but at the same time, I think she has the best chance of beating him in a general, and she also outraised both the gentlemen in the race, and she's going to need to raise money to go against Nanos, so she's shown she can do it.
Absolutely. So,
all right, you the man, Dan Shearer.
Okay, we'll talk to you. Thanks.
Have a good day, my friend. Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News, the vice president of the Heritage Foundation, talking about we're going to introduce Project 2025 and talk about how he forced out his boss. No, I'm just kidding. That's coming up next. Wake up.